evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed mind.
Welcome to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia on the National Community Radio Satellite. Listen to the Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. Listen to analysis of local, national, international events. Listen to analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. World This Week, coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. This program is broadcast live across the country via the Community Radio Network. My name is Joseph Toscano. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. It may take a day or two, but it will be podcast. Now, if you wonder what anarchy is all about, anarchos without rulers. It's about creating a society without rulers. And considering the power of a handful of men like Putin and Trump, and the list goes on and on, you begin to understand what's happening in the world has got nothing to do with the concept of creating societies without rulers. It's not without rules, it's without rulers. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people? Inequalities in power and wealth. So the anarchist struggle is the struggle to share power and the struggle to hold wealth in common and use it for the common good. Now, I'd just like to look at Australia and Canada. I'm really fascinated how we're diverging. Now, Australia and Canada have a very, very common history. We're both British colonies. Although the British had to battle with the French in the 17th and the 18th century to get control of Canada. Here, we beat the French to the punch, and 2 days after the penal settlement was established, arrived at Port Jackson from Mother England, the French turned up two days late, and the whole course of history has been changed. We could be speaking French. Now, also, we've always been devoted to the old country. And Canada and Australia have been involved in a number of wars supporting the old country. Also, both countries are parliamentary democracies. That's right, parliamentary democracies. Common language, although in Canada, a large number of the population speak French. Huge number of similarities, and I'm sure many of the listeners or some of our listeners have been to Canada. And when you go to Canada, it's a little bit like going to Australia. It's multicultural society. And we've also got the same history as far as First Nations people were concerned. We tried to wipe them out. Then we refused to acknowledge their presence. Then we tried to integrate them in society. And eventually steps are being taken to resolve that issue. Obviously, Canada is much, much further ahead than we are. But I'm interested in looking at Australia and Canada in terms of their reaction to the buffoon in Washington. Because it's very important to understand that in Australia, despite having a Labor government with overwhelming majority, we have been walking we've actually been walking behind the USA, holding onto their coattails. The appointment of the recent appointment of an Australian ambassador to the United States, not that the United States has bothered to appoint an ambassador to Australia, although it's 12 months or 13 or 14 months since the last ambassador resigned. They've appointed a little military man, and then we've got the situation where we've got the AUKUS alliance, which involves the United States, England, or the United Kingdom and Australia. And the fact that we have US bases on this soil, where we've lost our sovereign rights as citizens. And then we have the deployment of thousands of US troops in northern Australia. And the fact is that every time the US tells us to jump, we jump. And we've decided that as far as the buffoon is concerned, Mr. Albanese and the Australian Labor Party, and obviously what's left of the Federal, Liberal and National Party, we can't call them a coalition anymore, obviously, we've decided that our future is tied in to honouring the buffoon in Washington. You know, if he tells us to jump, we'll jump. Now, it's interesting, Canada, which shares thousands of miles of border with the United States of America, initially attempted to appease the buffoon in Washington and his administration. Because let's not forget, it's not just about the buffoon in Washington. It's about those ugly sections, the Republican Party, which is about 99.9% of Republicans who support the buffoon in Washington, who give him the ability to do what he wants to do. Well, Mr. Carney, the current Prime Minister of Canada, who was elected as a consequence of a pushback against the buffoon's rantings regarding Canada, incorporating Canada, the United States of America, has made some very important decisions. And the Canadian Parliament has made some exceptionally important decisions. Although their major trading partner is the United States of America, they have decided that they need to look outside that relationship in order to survive. Let's not forget, Canada is the only place on earth which has successfully burnt down Washington. That was in, I think, about 1804, 1806. But that's a different matter. But let's get him back to the reality. So they're forging ties with Qatar and other countries in the Middle East and around the world. They formed strong trading ties with China, People's Republic of China, and the list goes on and on. So what they're doing is they're diversifying. They're saying you can't appease these people. There's no point trying to appease them. There's no point kowtowing. There's no point bending over, because all that's going to happen is you're going to be run over. You've got to stand up to bullies. Now, obviously, the US administration under the buffoon is a little bit concerned, and, you know, it's talking about 100% tariffs on Canada, not realising it'll hurt more the United States than Canada. But let's look at Australia. Let's look at Australia. Let's look at the position the Australian government and the Australian opposition, both in the Liberal Party and the National Party, have taken. As far as the Liberal Party and the National Party is concerned, it's all the way with USA. Remember those of you who were alive in 1964? All the way with LBJ when he came here in 1964, Lyndon Johnston. Apart from those few protesters who stopped the motorcade here in Melbourne, but that's a different story. It's almost lost in the mists of time. So here we have decided that the best way to Australia to go forward, the best way to survive in this type of environment, is to put all our eggs in the one basket. And that basket, as far as defence is concerned, as far as international relationships is concerned, is all the way with the buffoon and his administration. All the way. Now, unfortunately, this is not the 19th century. It doesn't take weeks, months to get here in a sailing boat. This is the 21st century. We're now at the end of the first quarter of the 21st century. And the main thing you can understand after the first quarter of the 21st century is no place on earth is safe from military attack. And what we've seen in the last few years is a vivid demonstration of that. As the United States of America fires missiles here and there and everywhere. But the reality is, there are other players on the world stage. And these players are getting stronger and stronger. And the fact is, our alliance, total alliance with the United States of America puts us in the firing line if there's any future conflict. The situation is so bad that our military forces, our defence forces, are totally integrated into the digital industrial United States military complex. Totally integrated. And when we buy equipment, we're not even given codes in a majority of cases for how to use that material in case of an attack. So is the current government's position of not standing up to the buffoon-led administration in Washington the best way forward for this country? Now, obviously, the great majority of Australians still think this is the only way forward. But the fact is, the administration in the United States of America is about putting America first. It's not putting Australia first. It's not about alliances. We've seen what happens to so-called alliances. They can be ripped apart within a 24-hour period. So I think we've reached a juncture or a crossroads in our position as a middle power. That's right, as a middle power. And what the Canadian Prime Minister was saying is, you can't rely on the juggernauts to look after your interests. Look at the Russian-Ukrainian situation. Look at the situation in China where the current paramount leader has now fully purged the Chinese military and is in total command of those military forces. The fact is that middle powers, economically and maybe even physically, need to join together in a new alliance which allows them to survive and maintain their own sovereign integrity. You can't let a bully get away with what the United States is doing in this country. And although currently, apart from, you know, economic hemorrhaging, there hasn't been a military price to pay, the reality is, in any future conflict, we will be expected to participate in that, and that military conflict will put us in the direct firing line. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. Guess what? When I walked into the studio, I saw one of those daily newspapers. Not that I read them, but in today's edition of the Melbourne Age, and I assume it's the same for the Sydney Morning Herald, it's one and the same, there's a Domain Prestige Summer Edition of properties you and I can buy and enjoy. Now, just looking at a nice property here on the Mornington Peninsula, you know, that's about 50 k's from Melbourne, on Point Nepean Road in Portsea. Where else would you live? Very nice building, pool, sun deck, panoramic views of the ocean. God, I can't believe how cheap it is. 19 million, possibly 20 million. Expressions of interest close on the 3rd of February. That's a few days' time. And then I'm looking through this and there's other choice pieces of real estate. Very nice, world class, as they say. 20 million, 25, 10 million, even 5 million for you people on social security benefits. I'm sure you could afford that on your social security benefit. The main reason I picked it up and I'm mentioning it today is the fact that this is the same country where one in six children living in Australia live in poverty. Now, you have seen the growth of private charities in the last decade or so, which try to drive home that point. This is one of the richest places on Earth currently. And 1 in 6 children in Australia live in poverty. Well, at the same time, if I had the money, I could buy a nice little home in Portsea for $20 million. A steal, isn't it, really? When there are, 25,000 Australian children will be homeless tonight. 150,000 Australians will be looking for a bed tonight. Yep, a great nation, isn't it? So how can we have a situation where I, if I won Powerball, you know, when there's a 100 million prize and spent 20 mil on this nice home in the morning to Meninchilla, how can we have people in this country who are able to afford such luxury, while 1 in 6 children in Australia live in poverty? And let's not forget the 30% of Australians who eke out a day-to-day existence on social security benefits. And let's not forget the other 70 to 75% of Australians who basically go to work every day in order to keep a roof over their heads and educate their children and feed them. It's just extraordinary when you think about it. And you think, well, why do we find ourselves in this situation? Now, divided nation, formerly known as one nation, again, there are words I can't actually utter on this program. Things like the President of the United States of America, you know, the buffoon in Washington, and then this group that calls itself, very popular group, they tell me, calls itself one nation. You know, in fact, it should be called divided nation. That's what its policies do. So how do we find ourselves in a situation in 2026, the beginning of the second quarter of the 21st century, where 1 in 6 Australian children live in poverty, and where we have a political, social and cultural movement which incorporates roughly 1 in 5 Australians, which somehow thinks that the problems that we face are directly related to immigration, to the colour of a person's skin, to their religious beliefs, right, to the clothes they wear. You know, it's just extraordinary, isn't it? And when we have organisations like Public Interests before Corporate Interests have a minuscule following, you know, an organisation to put the interests of the many before the interests of the few. And how do we find ourselves in a situation in this country where 1 in 6 children live in poverty, where the social elevator, which was education, has basically been destroyed, and where we have a growing movement that somehow believes it's the other that's the problem in our society? It's very easy, as we see with the buffoon in Washington, Putin and the rest of them, it's very easy to kick people when they're down or kick people when they're a minority. It's a bit more difficult to actually outline the problem. Now, the problem in Australia is exceptionally simple. Even a fool like me can work it out. And if I can work it out, I'm sure everybody else in the country can work it out. It's very simple. We have growing inequality in this country. There should not be growing inequality in Australia. We're not living on a mud flat. We have a miserable 27 million people. I think it's 0.3% of the world's population living on a continent. Not an island like Java, which has, 150 million people. I think Java's about the size of Tasmania, if that. But 27 million people living on a continent. We can't even bring ourselves to saying that the original inhabitants of this continent have rights. Not as, you know, not as leadership, but the people as a whole, as we saw in the last, in the referendum regarding a prophetic voice to Parliament. And then we have groups like Divided Nation growing because they can generate hate in the community while claiming to be one nation. No, you can be one nation when you get rid of everybody else, but that's a different story. And the fact is that nobody seems to call a spade. Nobody in authority, obviously there are people like you and me, but nobody in authority, nobody who wields some power, is willing to open their mouth and say the fundamental problem in this country is the fact that we've given away this country's wealth to unaccountable corporations who employ an insignificant number of people in the mining sector, around 2% of the population, who pay peppercorn royalties and who ultimately, legally, pay minimal, if any, taxation. Now, in this country, people talk about the mining boom and how the revenue helps each and every one of us. Well, the fact is the mining boom does not help each and every one of us. We are cheated of this country's enormous mineral wealth. Bauxite, coal, gas, diamonds, zinc, copper, iron ore, rare earth, uranium, lithium, you name it, we have it. But what we've done is we said, well, let's allow privately owned entities, corporations, individuals, let's hand over our resources, this country's First Nations and the rest of us, our resources, to this minuscule minority that employs 2% of the population, that legally pays minimal, if any, tax and peppercorn royalties, and let them enrich themselves at the expense of Australians, of people living on this continent. And that's why you have a situation where I can salivate about this $20 million mansion I'm going to buy tomorrow and not worry about that. It's 1 in 6 Australian children living in poverty. Or that 30% of Australians living on Social Security benefits, or the 70%+ of Australians, you know, just basically work sometimes 2 jobs, 3 jobs in order to meet their financial commitments. Just an extraordinary situation when you think about it. How we have allowed successive governments in this country to give away the Commonwealth to private entities so they can enrich themselves at the expense of the rest of us. Now, if you've got to rely on a public service like public healthcare or public schools or public infrastructure or public roads, and the list goes on and on, you know there are significant problems in these public facilities, through lack of funding and through lack of staff. And it's obvious there isn't the funding to run systems that provide universal assistance to everybody. That's why we've got a patchy social security system, a patchy public health sector, a patchy public, education sector. And that's why we see billions, and not millions, not hundreds of millions, but billions of dollars being squandered by governments, excessive governments, which give money, give G-I-V-E money to the private sector. Now, I've got nothing against private schooling, but I have a huge amount of disgust with the fact that taxpayers' money is used to provide private education to students. You know, if their parents can afford to buy this $20 million home in Portsea, and I assume that's only a holiday home. Obviously, you'd need one in the CBD, wouldn't you? You'd need a penthouse apartment with a view, possibly in the Eureka Towers if you live in Melbourne. But that's a different story. I mean, how could you just have only just one $20 million home? But the fact is that in the last 12 months, the wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, of this country's billionaires who don't get their fingers dirty, digging holes, painting signs, paying tax, has increased by about $800,000 a day, while the rest of the population is lucky to have received a 2 to 5% wage increase, if any. So, who do we blame? Who do we blame? Do we, as citizens and residents in this country, blame the other? Do we join divided nation in droves? Do we march around, flying our little flags, talking about how horrible things are in this country because of migrants, because of First Nations people, because of gays? And the list goes on and on. Because of different religious beliefs. And, I mix with a lot of people for a variety of reasons. My occupation means that I mix with a lot of people. And I'm quite surprised, literally surprised, and it's difficult to surprise somebody at my age, about the attitudes, the growing attitudes and hatred which is being encouraged, fostered in this community by people in authority who should know better in order to promote their minuscule political gains. It's just extraordinary. Well, at the other end of the scale, we have a growing adoration, fall on our knees, kowtow, between the billionaires in this country and the corporations in this country who are raking it in hand over fist at our expense because of weakness by governments and political movements. Weakness, total weakness. We see this in our obsequious relationship with the United States of America. Weakness in terms of standing up for what's right for the majority of people. And they know, and I know why. It's simple. Look at Mr. Rudd when he tried to introduce a super profits tax to the mining sector. Out the door. Because we have a monopoly. Not a duopoly, but a monopoly of thought in terms of the type of country we should be living in. We should be living in a private investment for private profit country, a capitalist country. So, At least, I'm not asking you to go out in the streets. I'm not asking you to protest. But at least when you're talking to your neighbours, well, not that you talk to your neighbours these days often, or you're on, your favourite virtual platform, well, at least raise the issue of why we find ourselves as a people in this situation. Why 0.3% of the world's population living on a resource-rich continent can't even provide good universal health care, good public education, adequate social security benefits, and let's stop blaming the other. And if somebody says it's all those bloody Muslims, or all those bloody Christians, or all those bloody Hindus, or it's all those black people, or all those bludging, you know, First Nations people, speak up. You'd have to say, you say, you really think that's the problem? You really think that if you got rid of this section of the population, your life is going to improve? I mean, the real problem is the fact that wealth and power is being concentrated in fewer and fewer and fewer hands. And we have a parliamentary system which basically has minimal power because of the ability of virtual platforms and the legacy media to set an agenda which divides us as citizens and residents on this continent. The issue isn't, as divided nations and sections of the Liberal Party and most of the National Party tell you, immigration or the colour of a person's skin or their religious beliefs or whether they stand on their head before they go to bed at night. The issue is that wealth and power is concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. Now, obviously, it's exceptionally difficult to address that situation. But it is not difficult to turn the tables in terms of discussion, in terms of culture, in terms of pointing out the situation we find ourselves in is directly linked to the concentration of power and wealth in the hands of a minuscule, not a 1%, more likely a 0.1% of the population. And that's the reality, and that's what we should be concentrating on in 2026, not fighting amongst ourselves the crumbs which are brushed off the corporate table in our direction, but we should be demanding that our political representatives, who theoretically represent our interests, begin to represent our interests and begin to tackle these pressing issues: homelessness, the ability to buy a home, the ability to rent, the ability to access public health care in a reasonable time frame. And the list goes on and on. And while we flock as a people to political parties, cultural movements, which somehow believe and think the other is the problem, not the fact that we live in a society where wealth and power is being concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. As I said before, I'm not asking you to go out in the streets or even protest or even write a letter, but I am asking you, whether you lose friends or not, and maybe they're not the type of friends you really want to have, to raise the real reason so many Australian residents and citizens are disaffected, marginalised, feel ostracised, feel strangers in this country. And to many degrees, what we are seeing amongst the majority of the population is what First Nations people have been experiencing for over 230 years. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. That's 3cr.org.au. Now, if you're interested in these questions, I encourage you to look at the Public Interest Before Corporate Interests webpage, pibci.net. You can join online. Instead of fighting your neighbours about peripheral issues, maybe get involved with an organisation which wants to take the fight up to that 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication through both direct action and parliamentary politics. Let's move on. Well, Iran. Theocratic nightmare. We see it in Afghanistan, after 20 years of European and United States intervention. Not that the buffoon thinks the Europeans did much. They were chucked out by this, you know, by the Taliban. Chucked out within 2 weeks. Unbelievable collapse, obviously. Corruption was a big issue. And we see Afghanistan run as a theocracy. A country where a religion or a person's interpretation, a minority's interpretation of religious writings becomes the mechanism by which a country is ruled. No division between the state and religion. A little bit like medieval Europe. Now, Iran is an interesting case. Since the overthrow of the Shah over 50 years ago, in a popular revolution, which didn't just involve Islamic fundamentalists, but involved all types of people. But unfortunately, the Islamic fundamentalists took over and now imposed a theocratic nightmare on the Iranian people. But the issue is, it's not just the fact that they kill their own people as if it doesn't matter. Maybe 5,000 dead, maybe 10,000 dead. I've even heard figures of 45,000 dead. They're willing to use their monopoly on the use of force within their own sovereign borders to maintain order and keep the theocrats in power, because obviously they're there on behalf of God, aren't they? They're there on behalf of God, as we see with Israel. You can do anything, can't you, if you're God's people? But getting back to Iran, let's get back to Iran. The fact is that in many degrees, whether it's Venezuela, whether it's Iran, whether it's North Korea, whether it's to a lesser extent Cuba, what we have seen is the impositions of sanctions which have a profound impact on the activities of those particular states. And in many regards, it's not just the theocrats, the religious leaders that are at fault. There's also the fault of embargoes which drive authoritarian elements within nation states to become more and more authoritarian and use their monopoly on the use of power to maintain control within a crumbling economy. And although these nation states, it's a nightmare for many people, the fact is that the Western world's embargo of many of these states is the very reason that we see such atrocities ultimately occurring as people rebel because these states are not able to provide even the basic necessities of everyday existence. So obviously, there is a two-way blame game. It's not a one-way blame game. Obviously, I blame the mullahs in Iran for the current atrocities, but I also blame the United States of America for creating the situation that has led to the impoverished nature of Iranian society, which has forced people out on the streets in order to maintain their integrity, their standards of living. Without those particular embargoes, I'm sure the situation would have been different, and I'm sure the authoritarian elements which have been strengthened by the introduction of sanctions and embargoes would have been weakened. And nothing demonstrates this more than the dictatorship in North Korea, the intergenerational dictatorship in North Korea. Irrespective of the sanctions and embargo, the North Korean authorities are more than happy for millions, not thousands, but millions of their people to die in order to maintain their authority. So it's about time that we looked at the effect the trade embargoes have on the creation of authoritarian nation states. Who, as they begin to totter, are more than willing to use the monopoly they have on violence to maintain power in those particular situations. So I say every story, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Well, I've never skinned a cat, but I'm sure you haven't either. Well, you may have, but there are many ways to look at situations, and that's why we do the Anarchist World this week, to try to bring up ideas that are not discussed. Let's move on to the West Bank, Gaza and East Jerusalem. Now, irrespective of what you think is happening in the Ukraine or Iran, what the Australian authorities are doing in Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem is nothing more than genocide. Irrespective of what's happening in other parts of the world. The slaughter of over 30,000 children has collateral damage in the two-year dispute, I don't call it a war, between Hamas and the Israeli authorities after the 7th of October. The grinding poverty, the destruction of essential infrastructure, the assassination of the intelligentsia in the Palestinian community, the physical destruction that's starting to occur in East Jerusalem, although we've seen 20 years of the Israeli authorities attempting to acquire East Jerusalem by divide and rule, the atrocities which are occurring in the West Bank all point to a government and a state supported by a majority of its population who believe that the way to empower themselves and protect themselves over generations is to remove the Palestinian presence from their territories. Think about it. Simple. You have a war criminal, their prime minister, a war criminal for which there is an international warrant from the International Criminal Court in The Hague for him, and I think it's his defence minister, to appear before the court on charges of gross war crimes. And we continue as a state in this country to interact with the current Israeli government authorities as if nothing has happened. I'll give you an example, just a simple example. Today, overwhelming coverage in the Australian media, I don't know what's happening in the rest of the world, but in the Australian media, about the fact that the last hostages, Israeli hostages' body has been discovered after cemetery was desecrated with over 250 burials unburied. We've got the situation where this is the major news item in this country. Fine. It's a major issue for this former policeman's family. It's a major issue. But is it really a major issue that deserves this type of coverage? Well, at the same time, while Palestinians are indiscriminately slaughtered, they don't even mention, it's not even mentioned. And when we saw the horrific act of political terrorism against the Jewish population at Bondi Beach over a month ago, it's as if the Israeli atrocities that have occurred and continue to occur in the West Bank and Gaza and East Jerusalem don't exist. The fact is, it exists, and we've seen the expansionist nature of the Israeli government as it takes over more and more Syrian territory beyond the Golan Heights. We see it in its indiscriminate bombing of southern Lebanon and the way it treats its neighbours. But we, once again, are happy to accept this level of barbarity without even calling in the Israeli ambassador for a dressing down, let alone expelling the Israeli ambassador for what I am sure, in a historical network, will be considered some of the worst atrocities of the 21st century. You're listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. Now, next week will be a live program of The Anarchist World this week, but the last three Wednesdays in February, the program will be pre-recorded. So I won't be looking at current affairs. I mean, I usually don't have a break till about February, so I'm going to have a few weeks break. But I think the important thing is to remember is that nothing changes. It's not about, as I keep saying, it's not about colour, sexuality, identity, religion, clothes people wear. It's not about that. Ultimately, when you look at the situation around the world, it's about inequalities in power and wealth. And what we've seen in the 21st century, the so-called sophisticated century, where we have instant communication with anybody on the planet, you know, who's on a virtual platform. The fact is that what we are seeing is not the introduction of policies and ideas and cultural values which unite us in that struggle to ensure that everybody has access to power and wealth. But what we are seeing is an increasing concentration of power and wealth in fewer and fewer hands. And Australia is at the forefront of that change. As I keep saying, what we need to be doing is not dividing the nation and making political gain out of it, but uniting the nation in terms of ensuring that the commonwealth of this country is used for the common good. And until we find ourselves in that position, nothing will change. Now, as I said before, this is something everybody on the planet can be involved in. Well, everybody, let's say, in this country, not everybody on the planet, but in this country, can be involved in. Now, obviously, if you're a listener to The Anarchist World this week, you've got a different world view of what's going on today, right? You're not the type of person who somehow thinks that the other is the problem, but you understand that it's these inequalities in power and wealth, and these growing inequalities in power and wealth are the major issues which cause most of the problems which we face as individuals and families and communities in this country. As I said before, it's not about just taking direct action, as some people think. Obviously, direct action is needed. But currently, we have a culture, a growing cultural divide in this country, where somehow people think that climate change is a hoax. And there are many people who believe that in this country, and the key word is belief. And there is a growing cultural movement which attempts to divide us, and there are political factions and parties that are using these divisions to, you know, increase their membership and their influence in society. Now, we can push back, and it doesn't mean having to go on a protest or a vigil, though they're all useful mechanisms of promoting change. But what it means is not being silent. And that's the key. You may lose some friends, but maybe they weren't friends in the first place. When you hear people make these outrageous accusations or comments which have no basis in fact, whether you see it on a virtual media platform, whether it's your neighbour talking to you, it's important to try to change the conversation to the fact that if they can't get a public hospital or appointment, or their grandkids or kids are having issues regarding accessing a good public education, whether the kids or grandkids can't buy a home or get a good job, that's the time you need to raise the issue of growing inequality. The fact there are people out there who'll be seriously looking at buying this $20 million home in Portsea today. And I'm sure by the 3rd of February it'll be snapped up. And there'll be children today not knowing where they're going to sleep tonight. It's very simple. Do you really want to live in this country where growing division seems to be the main cultural and political activity in the country? Think about it. You have power. I have power. We have the power, at least, to change the cultural discussion, what's going on in this country. But to do that, you need to open your mouth. And obviously, opening your mouth can be dangerous. But ultimately, it's the only way to move forward. You've been listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. My name is Joseph Toscano. This program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. That's 3cr.org.au. I encourage you to look at the Public Interest Before Corporate Interest webpage, pibci.net. If you want to put the future of the public or the future of the many before the future of the few, I encourage you to join Public Interest Before Corporate Interest today. You can do it online. Doesn't cost anything. If you want to leave messages, 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489. You can email me at info@anarchistmedia.org, info@anarchistmedia.org, or info@pibci.net. And you may not believe me, but I still get letters, and you can send them to Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. The sacred cows have just wandered off. They said they've had enough of all this. They're going to go out there and speak to people and try to change the cultural milieu and the discussions which are occurring in this country. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can get access to the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au and looking for The Anarchist World This Week. There are hundreds of podcasts there you can use, looking at different issues over different times. Now, YouTube channels, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest, over 400 presentations, and also a historical channel, Radical History Channel, josephtoscano.nam, josephtoscano.nam. Thank you for listening to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station. We must thank Henrietta for doing all the work today. Without Henrietta, I'd just be a lonely old man speaking to myself in a room. Maybe that's all I am, a lonely old man speaking to myself in a room with a locked door. Thank you. Listen to The Anarchist World This Week on your local community radio station next week, courtesy of those great people at the Community Radio Network. Yes, don't worry about it. Let's just go, go, go.
Evil minds that plot destruction. death's construction. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World this week. Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to the Anarchist World this week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national, and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.